Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Side with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. Russell Brown is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Russell is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Let me see. We might have our 9th anniversary coming up here pretty soon. Russell is the one of the world's experts on buying and selling a business. He is the author of Preparing Your Business for Sale and Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business. And he's got an outstanding software product called Biz Pricer, but more than that, or as much at least to me, is that he's a longtime original, actually an original member of our Brain Trust. He's our good friend, Russell Brown. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me back. I've enjoyed all these years.
Yeah, it's been fun. Next month, by the way, we're like baseball. We keep these kind of records. We got your batting average and your on base percentage and the whole thing. Your power hitting and all that, Russell. But next month is your 11th will be your 11th anniversary.
Next month is 11th anniversary.
You're pretty excited about that. I mean, your mother is your mother is so proud of you for that, isn't she?
I will call my mom and tell her.
Yeah. It'll be in all the papers. Russell, it's good to have you back. Thanks for all the support you've given us. One of the things we talked about the last time you were here is the fact that that the financing opportunities, the financing elements that people put together as they acquire a business, as they sell a business, for that transaction to happen between a buyer and a seller, there are a lot of moving parts, aren't there, Russell? I mean, there's revenue there's capital that's invested by the people who are coming in. They may bring in investors, they may go to the bank for money. There are a lot of different ways to skin this cat, so to speak. But one of the things we pointed out was that some of these financing options, especially from banks, may be more limited than they used to be. Leasing options for equipment may be more limited. And you were going to talk to us a little bit about how to be more creative from an earnout standpoint, where the seller actually takes back more paper. Can you talk to us about that, please?
Sure. It's always been, even in good times, it's always been difficult to pull together the financing for business sales, under $5 million, let's say, because banks in general don't like to lend money against the soft assets, also called the intangibles,
right,
and things of that nature, and in many small...
Especially goodwill.
Yes. Well, that's in that all the way I look at it, it's all rolled up into something called goodwill, and they just don't like to lend their money against it because it's a touchy-feely kind of an asset, valuable nonetheless. But still,
let's talk about what could be considered goodwill. If a location that's a company's been there for a long time and is going to be allowed to stay there through the continuation of a lease or leasing the real estate from the owner or whatever, that location has some value because customers are used to coming there. That's part of the goodwill, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, of course, the business name,
yep,
the reputation in the community.
How about a phone number?
The phone number?
That's a big deal, right?
Right. And those are all the kinds of things it's hard to put, you can't really put a value on.
Customer list.
Yeah, customer list, ways ways of doing business, the way you find new revenue sources, new sales, new customers. Even your supplier lists are sometimes considered in that vein because you might have pretty good deals that'll be able to be continued after the sale.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you acquire the the supplies and raw materials and so on that you need to run this particular business.
Right.
So all of that lumped together generally makes up the bulk of the value in a business that's sold on, the small and medium-sized business.
If you think about it, Russell, everything else is a commodity, isn't it? I mean, fixtures,
yes, it is.
And the inventory and trucks and don't take this the wrong way, folks, but even sometimes employees. These are all things that can be replaced. It's those intangibles that make the business unique, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And those intangibles are really what give the value to the business.
Right.
However, even though everybody will recognize that and all the bankers will nod their heads on this, what will happen is they won't loan you any money against the value of the goodwill in the business. So if you're talking about, 60% or more of the business value being in goodwill, you've got a problem right out of the gate.
That's exactly right. They were always pretty stingy about that. We're back. It's 17 till. Little Chicago bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Please check it out and use it to your advantage because we built it for you. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and use our stuff. Find my blog, jimsblog.biz. From there, from smallbusinessadvocate.com, you can find my knowledge base where you can get small business answers now at askjim.biz. You can link to there from right off that homepage. You can find my newsletter. You can do lots and lots of other things. Check out the Brain Trust members, the archives, the articles, lots and lots of stuff there. So check it out. Russell Brown, if you want to know everything that there is to know about buying and selling a business, go look at the body of work that Russell Brown has deposited with us there under his name that you can find real easily this week because he's on the schedule and he'll be in many places there off the homepage. So I hope you'll check that out when you get a chance, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Russell is our guest, and Russell, we're talking about some of the challenges of getting a business sale financed these days. How do we get it underwritten, maybe is the better way to say it. And I was just saying as we went to the break, banks have always been stingy about goodwill. In fact, I know some accountants who won't even allow their clients to put goodwill on their books. They're pretty tight about stuff like that, and so, but even now, when banks are reluctant to loan for inventory and for fixtures, for hard goods, things with serial numbers, it's not likely you're going to get them to loan any money for goodwill.
That's right, and therein lies the big problem because goodwill is such a big portion of the sale of a small business. So we've got to find other ways, and this has always been the case, by the way, that this has been a problem. This is not something that just popped up in our latest economic crisis here.
Russell, but is there such a thing as a goodwill rule of thumb? 500,000 worth of fixtures and inventory, double that for the goodwill, or add 25%, or is there any kind of a rule of thumb?
I've never heard one. I've never even heard.
You should develop one.
That.
Leave it to me to ask that question, though, right?
Yeah, right. Right. Now, you got me thinking about that now, but I don't. Goodwill is very, very particular to the type of business, obviously, and some businesses have the bulk of their value in the hard assets, such as construction companies and marinas and any kind of a business that has a heavy use of capital equipment.
Let's compare this to publicly traded companies, Russ. I mean, look at how much we pay in multiples over sales, over assets, over capital, whatever the valuations are. Look at how much many times we buy stocks at 21 times earnings or whatever the numbers that we use. We give publicly traded companies a lot of goodwill when we buy stocks, don't we?
Yes, we do, and that's exactly what we're doing when we buy the shares in a company that is over and above the hard asset value that they own, that they have. Mm-hmm. That's the goodwill, and it's not spoken of that way, but that's certainly a good example. And so we're constantly doing that. And so one of the investing guidelines out there for people looking for value is to find these companies who have really small values of goodwill in their stock price. You know, in other words, you go and look and see that the intrinsic value of the company is, let's say, you know, $100 million, and
right.
if you add up all the outstanding stock, it only comes to $80 million.
Right.
Well, theoretically, that should be a real good buy, but
right.
That sounds good on paper, but it's not exactly. It's not the way the stock is traded in the
right.
in the exchanges. So you really gotta. Well, that's a different issue, of course. And
my only point is there, is that even people who've never bought a business, if they've ever bought a stock, they paid goodwill, and they paid for goodwill more than likely.
Right.
So now we're back to the small business that's being sold, and right. and you know, even I guess the bottom line, Russell, is that if you're selling a business, you're probably going to have to take back more paper than you would have, you know, 3 years ago maybe. If you're buying a business, you're going to have to rely on the seller to be a little more involved in the transaction, aren't you?
Right. And again, for vast majority of sales of small businesses, the seller would always take back some kind of paper of you know, a mortgage against the business for a relatively short period of time. We're talking about 3 to 5 years. That almost always happened. I won't say always, but almost always happened. And now it's an absolute given. It must happen, and it's generally going to be a higher percentage now because the banks are so unwilling to even loan against mm-hmm. the hard asset values in the company. And they're also looking at what the goodwill portion of the sale is
right.
relative to the buyer's, the new owner's ability to continue
right.
paying, you know, off of that business. So there's a lot more scrutiny of the deal. And one way that we – and of course, what's happening is if with more loans being taken back by the seller, the interest – cost as an aggregate, maybe not the interest rate, but the interest costs are higher, which is essentially driving up the cost of buying the business, the actual
right.
out-of-pocket cash
yeah.
flow.
One has to wonder if 2009 is even a good time to be selling or buying a business. I mean, that question has to be asked. Tintail, right back with Russell Brown. His website is Business Book Press, and his software is BizPricer, and we're going to talk about that right after these messages and other things. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till on Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate. Here's Little Richard right here. Yeah, he's still rocking after all these years, Mr. Richard Pennyman. He likes to be called Little Richard. Welcome back, 7 till. I think I said that. Russell Brown is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm your host. Russell's website. Russell is businessbookpress.com, right?
Yes, I am. Or you can just put in bizpricer.com.
All right.
B-I-Z-P-R-I-C-E-R, BizPricer. And there you are.
They can find your books there. They can find your software. Will your software help them be creative with the financing and help them come up with ideas on seller financing?
Yes, absolutely. We got a whole buyer's module and a seller's module. So you can
All
go
right.
in, you can work with different mortgage values and interest rates and time frames and see how it all affects things and work with taxes or at least estimated taxes, see how
right.
that affects you. Yeah, this is a new addition to our software for 2009. And we're very pleased with it. Working
good for
great.
You.
And
well, that's very timely. Very timely too, folks. And it's $99. Is that right?
Yes, it's $99.95.
But if people, sign up and tell you that,
go ahead.
They can download it for less. But if people tell you that they heard about it on my show, you're going to sweeten the pot, aren't you?
Yes, I will throw in a copy of our best-selling book.
All right.
Strategies for successfully buying or selling a business.
That's a $40 book, by the way, folks. So
yes, it is.
So that's a good So if they download it for $79, is that right? If they download it for $79?
Well, that's what's new this year too. We don't. What we're doing now is when you buy the software, you get you will get a CD delivered to you, and you will get an immediate download.
So you can use it right now. Okay. So check
so
that
you
out,
use
folks.
It right now. Plus, right. You get it, and you get both versions. You get the Excel-based version and the Wizard version.
Good.
In both the download and on CD,
all
for $99.95.
It's a heck of a deal, folks, and that's BizPricer.com. Russell, here's the question, and I don't mean to put a damper on your product there, but does the question need to be asked with the current economy, with nobody knowing exactly how long this thing's going to last? With the credit markets being so different this time than ever before, should it be asked that is this a time that we should actually be buying or selling a business?
Well, I think that from a buyer's perspective, I think there's going to be a lot of good deals out there.
Yeah.
Because and I would advise most sellers don't sell. I tell you why, because a lot of the value is based on the ability of the business to earn money, as you're well aware, in the valuation process.
And to project future earnings.
It's not only projected, but the projections are based on actuals.
Yeah.
And actuals are probably, for most businesses, actuals are pretty much down in 2008 and probably be down in 2009 as well.
Right.
So it's not the best time to sell the business. But, and I'll advise that to anyone, however, there are many business owners who have to sell.
Yeah.
You know, time doesn't stop, and you know people get older, and they get ready for retirement, and they get ill, and they get divorced.
So this is a good time, and folks, talk about honesty. This is a man who sells a product that helps people buy businesses. I mean, when Russell gives you that kind of information, you know you know what I know, which is how honest he is. Russell, this is a good time to look for opportunities that present themselves. But it's probably not a good time to try to talk somebody into selling you their business, right?
Yeah, I would stay away from that at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Make sure that
they're not willing sellers. If this, you know, it's going in, you're not going to make them a willing seller because I don't think you can make the deal, sweeten the deal enough to satisfy both of you.
Well, even if you can talk them into doing it, you're going to pay too much for it, probably.
Well, of course, everything has got a price. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to overpay, you're welcome. But most buyers of small businesses aren't sitting with, you know, tens of millions of dollars in their account or whatever. They don't have a lot of money.
But
so they need to get it somewhere, and it's tough to get.
But don't stop looking, Russell, because I have a hunch that the new administration is going to come up with some financing creativity that'll be maybe available through the SBA. That's just my instincts, folks. I don't have any kind of an inside track. But I don't stop looking. Keep those ideas going because I have a hunch that there may be something on down the road, Russell, because the banks aren't able to do this. The government's going to bail out Citibank, they can throw a bone to small business owners, in my opinion.
Well, I hope so, but
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Hey, Russell, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Well, thank you very much, Jim.
Russell Brown, we'll see you next time. Russell Brown, ladies and gentlemen, we'll celebrate his 11th anniversary next time he's with us. Businessbookpress.com, by the way. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be back on the other side of the news. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.